Hello, my name is Ben Jenkins and welcome to another episode of the New Grad Radio Podcast, the podcast following the experiences of a new graduate nurse starting into the intensive care unit. So I wanted to talk about a recent experience that I've had, which people may find of benefit because it's an example of the type of critically thinking and sort of troubleshooting that I do every day in the intensive care unit. So again, like I've mentioned many times on this podcast, I don't ever like to talk about the specifics of any patient that I've recently cared for. So instead, I'm just going to really provide some vital signs for you guys to sort of paint a bit of a picture. We've got a patient who's very, very unwell, recently tried to get her off sedation. She's very non-compliant with the ventilator as she's sort of waking up. She's has routinely had a blood pressure in the 150s, 160s, which has required multiple doses of intravenous boluses of metoprolol. We've got a heart rate sitting in the 120s to 130s. It's respiratory rate, exceptionally tachypneic, up in the 40s to 50s. Like, you've got someone who's just not doing very well. So you've got to get that bit of a picture. So I had recently given about half an hour, 45 minutes prior, the first dose of PO, so a crushed up 25 milligram tablet of metoprolol. So remember, we've given like 1 milligram, 1 milligram, 1 milligram, sort of like intravenous boluses of metoprolol IV. So the metoprolol is not really touching it too much. So over the next, so after that half an hour sort of period hit, she started to lose her blood pressure. It started to come down and down and down. And so I just couldn't understand why, like, it was coming down. I'm like, oh, okay, well, obviously it's doing its job. Like, it starts to hit about the systolic 120, and I'm like, beautiful, this is great. And then it starts to come down a little bit more, not as much as I've talked about on one of my very first episodes with the propofol bolus, where it just dumped straight away. This is sort of like a steady decline over a matter of minutes. So it's like, this is weird. Like, someone who's had this metoprolol is obviously very effective. And it just kept coming down and down and down until eventually it started hitting around the systolics around, you know, the 110. And I'm like, well, for a little tiny 25, and this is the only medication that I've given recently to do with blood pressure, like a little 25 milligram little tablet, don't really expect it to be doing this much wonders on this patient. Heart rate still in the 120s, 130s. So I can't really say it's rate related. Her respiratory rate is still in the 50s. I perform another full vital sign survey. So I've gone and done a full another GCS, which was not any different to what I had before. Looking at her just in general, didn't look any different. And then this is where it comes into arterial lines and performing sort of like our little troubleshooting measures. So I'll talk about arterial lines in another episode, but I'll talk about now the types of troubleshooting that we do. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have, the most important one I'm going to do is have a look at the actual insertion site of the arterial line into the radial artery. So I've had a look at it. The reason I do that is to make sure is it in? Like, it's not just randomly come out and we're going to be bleeding everywhere. That's obviously and it's in an artery, so it's obviously not squirting the other side of the room from what I can see, and there's no blood around, and it's in, there's no difference there. So that's my big C for, or big H I should say, in my primary survey for hemorrhage. So that's crossed off, that's fine. I've then gone across and okay, let's see if the reading of what I'm getting is actually accurate from the different troubleshooting measures that I can do. So we have this thing called the spirit level. It's a really interesting, funky looking, sort of like a tube of like a tire on the inside. It's really thin. Unless you see what a spirit level looks like, it's not really going to make too much sense with me trying to explain it. The idea is to try to measure from the phlebostatic axis, which is in very simple terms, it's sort of like in the middle axilla line, fourth intercostal space. So in other words, it's sort of like in the armpit sort of area. And we're measuring that line against the transducer level, and they should both be level. So making sure that the transducer is at the same height as the flebocytic axis. In other words, so yes, it was at the same height, so it's not going to give me a false high or a false low, it's correct. Okay, that's one out of the way. Next, I'm going to make sure I'm looking at my pressure bag, because if the pressure bag's not inflated correctly, well then it's going to give me an inaccurate reading. So I've checked it, the pressure bag is fully inflated to the correct pressure. It's still got fluid in it, so it's going to give me the correct measure that way. I've checked my cords to make sure that it's all connected together. There's no obvious air bubbles in it. There's no obvious kinking in it. Tracing it to the monitor and making sure it's all plugged in correctly. Yes, it's all plugged in. I've again checked it to make sure that it's going in, so the cord is going to my patient. Everything's connected, everything's at the right pressure, everything's at the right height. I'd have no idea what the hell's going on. And this is at the time after I've just performed these measures. I had a really, really senior nurse come in. And so I've just gone, okay, look, I'm just going to ask you a question. I've just took a step back. I've done all my troubleshooting measures for my arterial line. Baseline observations have not changed, yet my blood pressure is starting to just have a decent slip from what my last systolic was. It was 150s, 160s. Now it's 100 systolic. What is happening? Can you just have a quick look to see if I haven't missed anything? So again, the first things that he's done the same measures of what I've done. And then going on to the next thing, which is then going to place on a non-invasive blood pressure cuff that plugs into the machine. You push the button, it's going to automatically blow up for you to check a non-invasive blood pressure. As we've waited for that to come back, fair enough, the blood pressure is 135. So in other words, my arterial line has decided to stuff itself, for which is not an uncommon thing to happen in ICU. The arterial lines stay in for, I'd like to say about a week, maybe about 7 days, before they change them again. I wouldn't quote me on that one, but they do have sort of like an expiry date, I guess you'd say, before they have to replace the arterial line to make sure it's all done. Oh, and also part of my measure as well, I like to, what you do is equal flush it. So you sort of pull up this little toggle on that water that I was talking about in that pressure bag, you actually flush it and it flushes through, which is, again, I'll talk about that another episode with the arterial line, but that was part of my thing as well. Just in case there's a little clot on the end and it sort of busts away the clot. There's also another troubleshooting measure, which I was going to ask, which would have been one of the next things I would do, because I've never done it before. And you actually can flush into, using a different mechanism, flush into the arterial line. But always at uni, I remember the one thing that they always used to say is never push anything into an arterial line. It was always bolded in red and underlined and exclamation mark. So I've always been a bit tentative of doing any of that sort of stuff. Without having guidance from anyone else. So I'm guaranteed it's going to be something I'm going to do in the near future, but it's just not something I've had to do yet. So this is one of my first experiences of having an arterial line sort of be a bit super temperamental with me. Sometimes they can be very positional, is what they say. So the best position for an arterial line is to extend the wrist. It just looks at the waveform and makes sure the waveform on the monitor itself is accurate, for which that was part of my measures as well. I'm making sure it's in the position, it's not positional. And because again, if you were to hyperflex your wrist, you pretty much notice that your arterial waveform completely just craps itself and the monitor start beeping and saying that things are going wrong. But if, as soon as you do have a little tiny hyperextension of that wrist, it all seems to be okay again. So another little safety measure. But anyway, this is sort of, hopefully this was a bit in the mindset of, this is just one example, and this is probably the most recent example of just like some sort of troubleshooting that I do every day in ICU. You've got these for pretty most things, and it's all about looking at the whole picture again, and knowing what the troubleshooting mechanisms are. And then one thing again that I'll always suggest is to if you're ever unsure, always ask someone more experienced with you to just sort of have that sort of take a step back and make sure you're not the one being a bit silly and calling in the cavalry, I guess you'd say, just for the safety of your patient. So anyway, guys, hope you like this sort of episode, and I can't wait to talk to you in the next episode. So catch you guys.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.